Like, I never wear pants. Like, I just don't wear pants for shows. That's like...
All right, that's when you should have hit the button. Yeah.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby. They come. Wait,
welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 189. I am here with the two gentlemen mentioned previously in our intro at Artbark TV, the feverish Fanero, and at FF underscore spaceman, Mr. Dave Wright. How the hell are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing real well. How about you, spaceman?
Oh, it's rookie season, baby. I'm living the dream on Rookie Fever. Let's go.
Right.
Like, I knew I would get more hyped up when I listened to Dave. That's why I just tossed it right over.
I'm trying to get the family onto a 15-minute breakdown, but I'm just going to push them in the rocket and let them take off so we can talk about rookies every night.
That's a great idea.
I don't know if it's going to work, Fanero, and hopefully this is one that they never hear. But once they take off, I mean, that's a luxury they don't have. You both know that. But I mean, dude, I love this time of year after landing spots and just getting to actually start to create narratives from your fantasy team aspects and the NFL team aspects, and realizing like Chuba Hubbard and Kenneth Gainwell and trying to figure out like what kind of worth somebody has like those when they're falling behind these other stud running backs by all means. And those, you know what I mean? So tonight,
yeah, my favorite.
Go ahead.
My favorite part about all this, honestly, is you come in to all of this doing a shit ton of mocks, and you have your pre-draft analysis, and we have all of our rookie profiles. You come in with this understanding, and then you get to test that understanding, not in a mock, not in a vacuum, but in your actual rookie drafts. Like, I found myself feeling differently than I felt or thought I felt in my own rankings when I was making real decisions that affected my teams, that affected my team makeup, where context was added. I was bumping people up and bumping people down for real reasons based on the context of my team. And I think that's the most interesting part of this particular
Maybe not only the context of your team, but also the context of your picks and kind of thinking like, okay, like I really actually wanted Kadarius Toney. I'm speaking for feverish. I was going to try to be feverish for the entire show tonight, but I realized at the beginning of it, there's no possible way I was ready enough.
That joke has
so
like
much
Kadarius
more depth
Toney
to it than our listeners know.
Yeah.
But I'm not prepared. But truly, like, you get to that point where you have two guys you want. Like, maybe you've got that 203 or 204 area, so you're getting some of those, like, the Marshall area, you know, and you're kind of like, wow, if I don't get, I have to get one of these guys here, and I probably don't have a shot at the other one, and it totally starts to mess with your head a little bit, because you're just like, okay, I actually do like him more. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, and you're actually, like you said, and team makeup sometimes matters.
Yeah, you can even be in a certain point, and I think you nailed the point, that 201, 204 area, where like I feel very similar, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be my Marshall draft. All right, now this is going to be my Elijah Moore draft. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and you feel really, really, really close, you kind of want a piece of everything.
Yeah,
and
shit.
That's what I find
3 days later,
doing.
You might be like, well, man, I like Elijah Moore now. You know what I mean? Just that little change. You start to look at things and create narratives. Personally, we'll see how this mock goes, but I'll tell you now. I won't tell you. We're going to see how this mock goes, especially once we get into the later ones. But then, so the other thing, like, you got that 204 and the 207, let's say, hypothetically, and you start to try to imagine which one you have the better chance of at 207. Or I do. Sure.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I think context also can matter sometimes with picks.
100%.
So, I've had a lot of fun with some rookie drafts, so I'll be honest with you guys. So, guys, if you did not know, Dave Wright is here this evening. We're going through our mock draft that we had in. We did the first round really quick just to get through it because we think that actually some of those other decisions that you have to make within the second round and a little deeper, those are the ones that where it gets a little bit tougher. And honestly, you can DM us anytime if you are during a draft or anything. Again, it's at Artbark TV. More than happy to help to get to your questions. He might be the slowest. And I'm just being honest, and it doesn't, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get quality, but his daytime is a little bit busier than ours. Dave will be around as well at @FF_Spaceman. And I'm at @Swagzilla0G. Always happy to answer any questions, especially these rookies. But anyway, we went through the first round pretty quick here. Dave hasn't talked at all. And we gave him the hardest pick of the draft just to kick it off.
Oh, I'm going Kadarius Toney 101.
You guys said get your guy. I know Finero really likes him a lot. Know your room.
Know your room. Yeah, I just didn't know I liked him until I was on the clock at 101. And no, I'm going Trevor Lawrence here, and I've actually kind of settled on that. I actually disagree that he's the safest QB prospect we've had in the last since Andrew Luck or whatever. I think he's the most complete prospect. That's how I'm phrasing it, is that he checks all the boxes that you like. I think he's going to be he's a great prospect. I just disagree. I'm not really comfortable saying he's the safest. He's just the most complete, and I'm excited to have him right here at 101.
Yeah. Can't say much more about that. Is he the safest in this draft?
That's an excellent question.
For me, I view safety from fantasy football differently. I love the rushing floor, and I think Trevor Lawrence does have some rushing ability. But when I look at safety from a fantasy perspective, rushing really provides that. When you can get 3.5 to 4.5 points every week from a rush, from just as a baseline from a quarterback, I think that is that's what I'm talking about with safety.
Okay.
So that's like from a week-to-week floor kind of deal. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I view safety, but...
No, I hear you. Finero, you had another tough choice with the 102.
Yeah, so I again reached a little bit here, and I'm going Jalen Darden because I know that the hype for him is getting high. I know he was drafted in the fourth round, late fourth round, and I know he's buried on a depth chart in Tampa Bay, but I'm still excited, still very excited about this senior. No, I picked Justin Fields. I'm still sticking with the pre-draft rankings. It's a lot closer though, guys. A lot closer for me. I feel like there's a part of me that just wants to go Trey Lance, but Justin Fields has a much larger body of work that I feel good about, and everything that Spaceman said about those legs, Justin Fields got them. So I think he's got a safe floor. I do not hate the landing spot, and I'm going Justin Fields 102.
I agree with both of your picks, by the way, the 101 and the 102 there. Tough to argue. But I also agree with Finero. Like you said, it gets kind of tough here. Like, I don't have a share of Trey Lance because I go Justin Fields first. And like we said, like beginning of the show, I don't have another pick to take Trey Lance in this area. So I've got no Trey Lance. And then, so when I think about safety, I'll try to do this quick. When I think about safety, I think about like my long-term super flex position. Like, that's my floor. I want that kind of safety because I'm investing my most value in that quarterback position in a super flex league. So I try to think of that long term, and I like this landing spot, this organization. I think that he's with the best team to help him succeed, and with a team that is not going to give up on him quickly. And we've seen, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to fail, but this organization, I think, is going to put Trey Lance in a great situation to succeed. So I agree with you guys 100%. I'm not trying to change that, but I've started to think of Lance as maybe the safest. Not the most complete, like Dave said, not necessarily the highest ceiling, but maybe the safest.
Deviation alert. Pre-draft. Swagzilla 0G went Zach Wilson here.
Ooh, I like it.
This is our first deviation from pre-draft. Trey Lance has moved up one spot. Congratulations, Trey.
old Finero would have had a deviation alert I had to put on the drop board 5 minutes before the show, but I didn't get one. So I'm going to make one out of you.
That's a pretty sexy deviation. Like, don't, I'll be honest, right? I liked how that voice. I liked it. But yeah, that's I'm getting my nose started bleeding here because I was hoping that Trey Lance would fall to me. So I had to plug the you know, sometimes when you get too excited about a pick at Trevor Lawrence and it's safe, you know, I'm talking about safety, not safe. And I, you know, you hit yourself, your mic and you got a bloody nose. But no, I'm going to push on here. I will say I view the top three quarterbacks in their own tier. I think that they're all in the same tier for me. I think a lot of people might have had Trevor Lawrence in their own tier, maybe, or maybe Trey Lance wasn't in the tier with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I think they're all in the same tier. And I actually personally prefer Trey Lance to Justin Fields, but I still like Justin Fields an awful lot. So it's exciting how good these quarterbacks are in this class. I think sometimes we, because, you know, we're not, it's tough to evaluate quarterbacks. So I think sometimes people don't necessarily appreciate quarterbacks enough. And I'm talking to a super flexible guy over here, but I'm just really excited about the quarterbacks in this draft. So I just want to add that in here, but I'm going Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is the at 104 all around prospect. I know there's running backs on the board, tight end on the board still, but I just think, and he's starting to fall in ADP in some places because of the running backs, and teams need that need at running back. But God, I think Chase is just a complete player, and running with Joe Burrow and that offense, I'm not worried about not having enough volume. I think that's going to be a high flying offense. So give me some Chase.
All right, I guess I'm up.
Feverish, do you agree with that pick?
I do, actually, and it explains my pick a little bit too, so I can kind of agree with that and tell you why while I'm picking my next pick, which is kind of what I mentioned at the beginning of the show, which was the thing that I've learned is how I'm picking in these drafts, and just what Dave had just said, there's a tier, those three quarterbacks, and I know in Superflex and in our pre-mock, we went straight quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4. And here's Ja'Marr Chase is our second deviation of the night, and I'm about to give you our third deviation of the night with Najee Harris. I found myself in a draft, and Swags, I was sharing with you how I was really struggling with this. I had three starting quarterbacks in that draft. I had two really good running backs, and I desperately needed a wide receiver. I picked Najee Harris over Ja'Marr Chase in that draft, over Zach Wilson in that draft. So I feel like I would be disingenuous to go Zach Wilson here, and that's why I picked Najee Harris. I think it's positional scarcity. That's a 14-teamer.
So you have Harris over Chase, though?
I don't in most cases. That was it. This is kind of what I said at the top of the show. For me, Ja'Marr Chase is absolutely safer, but the reason I made the pick in that particular draft was the 14-teamer. So same reason you would want to get a quarterback in that 14-teamer, I think it's the same exact reason you would want a premier running back in that same thing. I think I would have an easier time, honestly, trading away one of my running backs and getting value than quarterbacks. It seems to just be in that particularly a lockdown on quarterbacks. Nobody wants to trade them. Nobody wants to give them up. The values are really, really, really high. I have three starters. I think Ja'Marr Chase and Najee Harris, if I had the choice of the two, and in this mock I didn't, I would go Ja'Marr Chase.
All right. I'm taking Zach Wilson. You guys let him fall to me.
Yep.
Best deal of the draft so far, I see.
He fell from our pre-draft mock three spots. He was the 103.
He would not have gotten past like that four spot if we snaked. I would have took him over Chase and Harris.
Gotcha.
So I really love this. If I'm in this draft and this is my team and I feel like I'm getting a third or fourth quarterback added to my team at this point, I really like it. And if you don't, you can definitely find a team that needs a quarterback all the time and they'll be happy to take Zach Wilson.
And I think there's a window for that. And what I mean by that is I guarantee you all five of these quarterbacks will not hit.
Right.
On average, two in a class do. So as excited as we are and about these five, the one thing that you can be excited about is the draft capital. But I mean, Sam Darnold didn't finish. You know, you see quarterbacks being moved much more than you ever have.
But are you only saying Sam Darnold because it's the Jets?
No, I just mean the team's patience on a quarterback hitting and not hitting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even last the contract.
And that was
anymore.
Even kind of my point with Trevor Lawrence and compared to Trey Lance and the situation he's going to be put in. Sure. And I don't mind Zach Wilson's situation, to be completely honest with you. And what I've seen from him, I really like, actually. I think that these guys, honestly, will all have a couple years to prove that they can do this. And
that's what I meant by the window. There's going to be a window.
And
for some of these,
I think you're right. Like, you'd only see a couple from each class, but we've never had like a class. I don't even want to like comp anybody here. Not even Trevor Lawrence. We've never had a class land with such great landing spots like this. All of our top five quarterbacks dominoed into just great opportunities. And I don't think we've ever quite seen it roll out like that. And I know it's still like, could be failure. I'm not saying that, but the opportunities here for these quarterbacks this year, I think, are great. That's all.
Agree 100%. I think our friend Katie Flower, she kind of mentioned that we've known all along that Zach Wilson's going 102, yet still he's falling in our post-draft rookie draft. Like, right. We knew he's going 102 to the Jets, but we did not know they were going to be drafting Elijah Moore on top of things, and that they were just going to have that many more weapons. Michael Carter at the backfield. There's a lot of things to like about the Jets. The Jets seem to be making good decisions, adding offensive linemen. So there's, you know, it doesn't seem like the same old Jets. Now, I don't want to get any Jets fans too excited, but there's some optimism around Zach Wilson.
They've added weapons. Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, still have Mims, Jameson Crowder.
Keelan Cole's the forgotten man there too. Like, he's a decent option there too. So there's a lot to like about the Jets and where they're heading on offense for sure. So I like Zach Wilson a lot there. And this has actually got really interesting for me because positionally, you don't really find where I'm going here. I wouldn't normally be doing this. I would not normally be going tight end because that's just not how I like to build my fantasy football teams. But I'm going Kyle Pitts, one, because the community is valuing extremely high. If I take him, I feel like I could trade him for even more than what I could. Like, the people want Kyle Pitts. Like, he is a hot button topic. The hype could even go higher here as the summer starts to wear on. People start just imagine they start seeing him in mini camps and stuff. I think that value could grow, and I'll see how the rest of this draft kind of pans out here. But Kyle Pitts is a weapon here, even in the non-premium type format. I'm kind of excited to just get my first imaginary share of him.
Yeah, I mean, you could. He's almost priced at his ceiling. Arguably, you could even say that he fell to you. I don't want to say that this pick was easy for you, but you could almost say he fell to you. Finero, how do you feel about this pick, and then kind of segue into yours?
So we did this mock for our listeners. We did this mock inside a chat, and I was able to add a GIF right after the Kyle Pitts pick, and it was a little emoji of a man's head on fire. I was very angry that Spaceman picked Pitts. I was eyeing him up with my next pick. I think this is tight end premium, I believe, right, Swags?
I mean, my head always naturally goes that way, I won't lie, right? I mean, so we didn't say it, but that's where I was with this, yeah.
So, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of chatter that, you know, people are declining Kittle straight up for Pitts at this point. That's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
You talk about he is at his ceiling. I mean, he just literally – now, I think – Dave, I think you did nail it though. As high as it is right now, there's still some people that aren't that high. So there's still more people to convert to that high, which is again ridiculous. Meaning it just is ridiculous. Like, the guy can fail. It's in his range of outcomes. And when I say fail, he could become a top 12 tight end, right?
Right.
This season,
he could take some time.
Right. But that being said, with all the hype, I really don't see his value dipping in year two. I mean, he would have to look lost out there for his value to be dipped.
Yeah.
So with that being said,
if Julio gets traded.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And we've seen Atlanta target the tight end. We mentioned this before. I just feel as though this does seem like the right place for me. I could have made the argument to even go as soon as 105. But with quarterbacks on the board, I can't do that, not in Superflex. So I went Mac Jones with my next pick at 108. And for all the reasons, Swags, that you mentioned, why you went Wilson, just copy and paste here. I mean, we have a quarterback in a great situation. We could argue that he has probably the worst weapons. I know there's two new tight ends over there, but there's nothing too exciting over there in New England at the moment. And I do believe Mac Jones starts.
It's got some nice tight ends, N'Keal Harry, Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. So you could go there. You could go there, and that's why he's going to be the last guy picked. I mean, the last guy picked.
So you're going to hate this, but I think he could possibly be the second safest quarterback in this class, because you're never going to see the Patriots use a first rounder on a quarterback again. Not for a while, and they just did. They secured a safety net under the fifth-rated quarterback in this class that none of the other ones have until Bill Belichick is gone. I'm not saying he's the best, but he is the second safest.
I don't hate that take.
Dave does.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think just from he's older prospect, he's not very experienced. There's a lot of check marks he doesn't do. Extremely efficient. The most efficient quarterback we've ever seen in college football history. That's who he just was. So there's a lot to like about him. However, you're telling me as a Patriots fan, I've seen the quarterbacks they've drafted from Ryan Mallett to
what round was that?
Jimmy G had all this hype.
What round was that?
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, the Patriots have never drafted a first round quarterback besides, all the way going back to Drew Bledsoe was the
last. You want Tom Brady or something that's going to be that next guy. Like you're not going to get that again. Not for a while. I think that's just the reality to it. Like you have Mac Jones. Get the jersey.
No, that's not happening for me. Not getting the Mac Jones jersey. I think that, especially in free agency, I always think that the free agency is always an option especially for the Patriots. And they will move on from players. So I don't think the Patriots are not your typical, would I be shocked if they moved on from Mac Jones next season? No, I would not. Now, is he going to get replaced at draft? I doubt that. But so I agree with that part of what you're saying, but I think if he was to be replaced, it would be through free agency.
To piggyback off of that, Dave, the one thing that we did hear right away was a little surprise that the Patriots didn't move up. I was one of those people that thought the Patriots were going to move up. They didn't trade with anybody. They seemed pretty content that if Mac Jones went before their pick, they would figure something out after that. Like maybe go a Trask or a Mond or something like that after in the second and see what happens this year and move on. They felt a little, for me, like we kept on talking about, oh, they didn't even have to move up. It just fell into their lap. Well, first off, the other teams didn't want him. They saw the good chance that he was going to fall, and they took him. So, I mean, there's obviously some confidence there. It's a very high draft pick nonetheless, but I don't know if I can say that they're all in on Mac Jones.
I mean, you can't say anybody, I mean, is officially all in on, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to say, they are. Yeah. I know. I'm not trying to be that guy, but I think that, I don't know, it's unprecedented that they would even draft a quarterback here. They don't think Cam's the guy. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. If they thought they could work something out with him to be their bridge quarterback for the next guy, he's a bridge to Mac Jones.
Let's talk about the recent Patriot history with the first round. N'Keal Harry.
Well.
Sony Michel.
Yeah, they're still there.
They're later picks, but they didn't pan out. I don't know. I think it's bold to say he's the second safest quarterback, but I do like it. I said I liked it.
I don't think he's the best. I don't even think he. Like,
I know.
I want Trevor safest. Lawrence way ahead of.
Yep.
But I think that he's going to be one of the. I think he'll have a longer leash. I'm sorry, and I'm taking Javonte Williams.
I'm sorry, Javonte Williams, 109, moving up. Three spots from the 112 in our previous draft. Three spots.
That's nice.
I thought you were going Travis Etienne personally.
I just couldn't.
What about Javonte Williams do you like?
I like his situation a little bit better. I like the way they're going to use him. I think that he's going to be in a nice situation to start coming in behind Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Gordon will go away before James Robinson, in my opinion. I like the organization better. I think that I don't hate ETN, and that's what you guys want to hear out of me. But I think that's been taken too far, maybe in public and on the show. My problem is the hate that most people have for James Robinson. It's not like, honestly, like when I think about it, I'm more worried about Laviska Shenault because of Travis ETN than I am James Robinson. And I think Laviska Shenault is going to be somebody, but the role that I think they could give to Travis Etienne to make that team successful and still utilize all of their talent, I think will cut into James Robinson a little bit in the passing game, obviously take some carries away, but I think it's going to take away from, you're not going to see Laviska Shenault out of the backfield anymore, and he's going to, and Etienne is going to get a lot of the third down that you expected Laviska Shenault to be getting.
Swags, is that a year one take, or is that the next 2 or 3 years?
Which part?
I guess the ratio of ETN to Robinson. Does that slowly erode over 2 or 3 years, or is that a constant feeling that you have that because Robinson has a contract there?
I think that James Robinson has 13 to 18 touches for 2 to 3 years safely. Okay.
That was my
question.
And
if not, I think he's traded.
That was my question.
He's arguably one of the best values in dynasty football right now. But I mean, Dave, you're up.
I honestly was just doing a little tongue in cheek. I did want to hear what you really liked about Javonte Williams to have him go over ETN, or not even to go over ETN, but what about Javonte? Is it just pure landing spot opportunity and his size speed kind of combo?
I think I was starting to like him a little bit more and more as it got closer, you know, like even listening and following people like Garrett Price, who likes Williams a lot and kind of trusting him, things like that. And then the landing spot, the hype around ETN and me just being able to fight through that stuff. I think, honestly, it's just like, I have them neck and neck here. Like if I agree with Dave's pick here, his next pick, which is Travis Etienne, I would have taken him there. It's not like I'm trying to knock this guy down. I just think people are ridiculous. Like, you'll hear people still like creating a probable role for AJ Dillon behind Aaron Jones, which I think he will have. Don't take that the wrong way. But then they're just like, James Robinson is dead. It's stupid and ignorant, honestly, like, to think that way, in my opinion, that undrafted free agents that have done nothing their first 2 or 3 years have gotten more of an opportunity than people are imagining for James Robinson in year two. It's just silly and unfortunate that people buy into some of that stuff. And I don't know, I've just been down this road so many times, taking crap from herds of people and then kind of coming out ahead, and then you never hear from them again. So it's kind of a sore spot, if we're being completely honest, in my pride and my ego, and never hearing from any of these people that are so hard on you and just try to like drag you down, grind you into the ground. Then you are right and they're never back again. They're back for the next one, and they still try to beat you down. It gets tiring, man. And I'm not like that guy that's all like hot takey. I'm a realist, and other people just, I don't know, man. I've been wrong enough times that like, I think my rights like have rectified them. And I don't know. That was a lot. Like, we could probably cut it out and make an episode just out of what I just said.
No, dude. No, I think you freaking give you the freaking platform to talk about it, man. And this is what Rookie Fever is all about, is like talking about, hey, you know, people don't mention up. You got DeAndre Swift right. DeAndre Swift over CH. And that does not get mentioned enough.
It's not even just the rookies. And I'm not even, I mean, I think part of the, I don't know, dude, people are freaking weird. Like, if you say you did something right, you're taking a victory lap. And I don't know, man, I could go on and on and on about things I told people to do that I've gotten shit for. And then I'm so glad that I made those moves. Let me give you one, like Kenny Galladay. I was telling people to go out, trade away Kenny Galladay, get Allen Robinson plus all last year. And that was a cake move. You could make it happen all day long. People told me I was ridiculous. And they're the same age. And I'm like, no, this is the move to make. You get the better player and you get plus, because people were way too high on Kenny Galladay. Look at where that is today. And you can't go get Allen Robinson plus for Kenny Galladay. Like, people like don't even want your Kenny Galladay. So
as a longtime Rookie Fever listener, I did that. I said, hey, look at their age. They're not as different.
I love you,
Dave.
The
gap's not as what you think about it. And I went and I had that. I mean, I already had Allen Robinson everywhere, so I didn't like go out and get Allen Robinson, but I really adjusted my rankings overall. And I picked up a lot more Allen Robinson in redraft, especially. People were ridiculous about it. You were all over on that.
It's just how resistant people are and how honestly mean people are when you're kind of just doing something a little differently and going against people. I don't know. Sorry.
I didn't know until just now how Dave got on the show.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, Dave. I'm kidding.
It's not for my looks, I'll tell you that much.
It was because he got rid of Kenny Galladay when he should have.
It's the no pants. That's how you got on the show. No pants.
That's right. That was before the show. Now you're telling everyone I'm not wearing pants. Thanks. Thanks, man.
So if it's all right with you guys, I'm going to go 111. I'm going to pick my player, if that's cool.
Yeah.
This is where we see him going in Superflex pretty repeatedly, and I think this is a nice place to get a Devonta Smith. I know that I'm going to get a little pushback because I think we have some people that won't put him at number two. I think Waddle is close for me, but Devonta Smith is clearly two for me. It's not even close. I do like Waddle, and I guess I have them in the same tier.
Not even close.
Yeah, I guess I have them in the same tier, but I just feel like, you know, Smith has the larger body of work. He was the best wide receiver in college on his own team 3 years straight, and he had a lot of competition to be able to say that. Devonta Smith also landed in a very nice spot. I think the Eagles aren't as sexy as some of these other landing spots, but the opportunity, which for
part of my problem,
king,
Finero, you know that.
Yeah, but the opportunities is king for rookies, and I think Devonta Smith's going to get a ton of that. He clearly comes in as the best wide receiver. On top of that, volume is deceivingly a concern. We don't have a large enough body of work for Hurts to really know what the pass volume there will be, but he is more of a runner, and I think they might play a little more conservative with him in year two, if you want to call this year two for him. So I'm a little concerned about the volume, but, I mean, dude, there's just nobody there. I know you're going to tell me Travis Fulgham, but...
Well, Rager's there. Goddard.
Yeah, no, I know.
Zach Ertz is still there in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you can go in any depth chart and start naming people. I can start naming all the wide receivers that are on Detroit. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no foundational piece.
I can probably, like, count as many people that are there as many times as we've said there's nobody there and still watch somebody not succeed.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a new quarterback. There's a new coach.
I'm not fighting this much, though, to be honest with you. I don't hate it at all, Finero. And this is, I think what you're seeing a lot here is either Smith or Waddle, and that's who I took at 12 was Waddle. Yep. Waddle's my guy. I love him back with Tua. I'm not a Parker guy. He's getting older. I'm bailing on Preston Williams. If you look at my dynasty teams, you cannot tell. Nobody wants him from me. So I really like Waddle here at 12. I feel like I got my guy to round this up a little bit.
Waddle's one of my biggest risers in this draft. I mean, from an analytical point of view, I was not buying into it. I did not believe that he was going to get the draft capital. I thought he was underproductive in college. He's undersized. There was a lot of things. You know, he was an early declare. He did have some, you could squint and you could see some production there. But I did not think he would go at 106, and that's what he did. 106, and he's going to have doesn't. I've heard a lot of people talking about competition in Miami. I don't see it. No, I'm still having Smith ranked over Waddle, but I will say I would probably categorize myself as almost a hater of Waddle pre-draft, and now I'm moving him up a tier just because of, you know, the draft capital and other things. So I can't argue with you guys either of your picks here. But I was to look at this draft as now as we go. We're on the turn. We had, you know, we're at 201 now. Now we're all live here, except. Everyone knows. Now, hold on.
So before that, let's get out of here. What if, like, let's say hypothetically, in a real world right now, not hypothetically at all, Dave, we'll start with you. And, like, a little bit of constructive criticism or somebody you felt went too early, fell too much, whoever picked this player does not get a chance to defend himself. What's one pick you just didn't agree with for whatever reason?
Good question. That's I probably would not have gone Mac Jones there. I knew that Finero and all the drafts that I had been in with Finero pre and I was in one afterwards that Finero was going to stop the stop. He was going to have Mac Jones there. I probably would have taken Pitts ETN over Mac Jones. I still like the value of the position, but I think I want to have the value. I like. What I like about Mac Jones is getting him at a value. I've seen him go at 202. like I like getting Mac Jones at a value, but I can't necessarily that I don't have any strong feelings against Fanero for taking him. That's for
I don't have strong feelings. Fanero, what about you? what was same question?
Yeah, so I'm looking at my rankings going into this, and it's going to be ETN. I have ETN over. I'm sorry, it's going to be Javonte Williams. I have ETN over Javonte Williams, and I have two wide receivers in between them.
Oh wow, okay, so, yeah, understandable.
So I have Harris, Pitts, Jones, ETN. So I'm going to pick on the Javonte Williams pick.
So for me, I think mine was probably Chase over Pitts and then seeing Pitts fall that far. I like Pitts enough, you know, and kind of like Dave said, when he finally got to pick him, and Dave, you rectified yourself, but kind of just like that value he already holds. It's kind of crazy. So that was my one that I felt that was a really nice fall where Dave got Pitts there. Yeah.
Honestly, this is like my ideal. Like, I got all of the players that I personally want. I know we all love our picks, but this is how I would hope a draft would go if I was to have a lot of rookie picks.
If we all had four picks in the first round,
yeah, that would be amazing. I know
sometimes people do. Some people do have like three or four picks in the first round.
Yeah,
this would be it for me because I get my RB1, my RB1. I have Harris and Etienne. They're really, really freaking close. It depends on who I'm talking to and how, you know. No, so I'm really excited here. And guys, I think we did Rookie Fear proud in this first round.
I think so too. Let's get out of here. I am me at Swagzilla0G.
I'm the Feverish Finero. You can find me at AardvarTV.
And I'm the bloody nosed FF_spaceman.
Making Dave's nose bleed with our picks. Picking wrong. It got a little deep up in there.
I never saw anything go up the nostril. I just saw the little thing hanging out.
I blew my nose off camera.
Oh, that's what happened.
We teased you guys. Who is Dave picking at 201? We'll make you guys wait till the next episode. We'll get right into round two.
You know who he's not picking?
Jalen Waddle?
His nose.